Did you know that the Bible promises that there will be a new earth? This is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will tell us about a new earth on this Words of Life broadcast. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen.
Here.
In the name of Jesus, we offer this prayer before you, Lord, beginning with our expression of thanksgiving for all that you do for us. You give us salvation, and you also meet the needs that we have for our daily lives. Thank you. We ask that you will be with each one who upholds the name of Jesus. Some listeners need to know Jesus as Savior, while others are troubled with health issues and discouragement. Please provide for each one with your mercy and grace. We likewise ask that you will help us to be ready for the promised appearing of Jesus. Thank you for listening to us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present A New Earth.
It's great to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is A New Earth, and our text is taken from the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Listen to the Word of God. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Amen. This is the Word of God, and so be it. It will come to pass exactly as it is prophesied. For millennia, men have been claiming the demise of planet Earth. Doomsayers claim our planet could be destroyed by natural causes, such as large asteroids. In modern times, doomsayers claim a hole in the Earth's ozone layer, catastrophic climate change, or thermonuclear warfare will destroy planet Earth. Actually, the Bible has much revealed regarding planet Earth. Theologians identify at least five major phases of Earth. Earth's phase 1, creation to the first sin. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 9 through 10. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. So earth, originally created by God, was perfect, very good in every way, a paradise. However, man's sin, disobedience, caused God to curse the earth and everything on it. Genesis chapter 3 and verses 17 through 19. To Adam He said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." So this is the basic condition of the earth to this day. Earth and everything basically on it has gone from perfection to erosion, decay, and death. Earth's phase 2, Adam to Noah. God's curse radically changed the earth and everything on it. However, evidently, there was still a thick water vapor canopy above the earth which helped shield life from harmful ultraviolet radiation from Earth's sun. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Part of the benefit was great longevity of mankind's lifespan, yet eventually there was death. Consider one prominent example, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 27. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. These long lifespans allowed mankind to be, quote, fruitful and increase in number, to fill the earth and subdue it, as according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. However, mankind's sinfulness became so great that God once again intervened and again radically changed the nature of the earth. Consider Genesis chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Earth Phase 3, Noah to the Second Coming of Christ. The global flood radically changed conditions on the earth. Land masses split apart, probably forming the continents and oceans as we know them today. Cataclysmic forces on the earth due to the global deluge altered the topography of the earth. Also, there was no longer the water vapor canopy above the earth, greatly diminishing lifespans. Genesis chapter 7 and verses 11 through 12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. And rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So added to the rain were the subterranean waters that sprang up from inside the earth. Plus from the heavens, the water vapor canopy came down to cover the entire earth with floodwaters. Consider Genesis chapter 7 and verses 18 through 19. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. Earth's phase 4 to the second coming of Christ, to his handing over the kingdom to God the Father, according to 1 Corinthians 15:24. Why will Christ return to this earth? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 25. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. How long will Christ reign on this earth? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 says in part, they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. What will happen to this earth at that time? Consider Acts chapter 3 and verses 20 through 21. And that he may send the Christ, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Restore everything? How? As he promised long ago through his holy prophets, paradise on this earth will be in large part revisited. For example, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Has that come about as of yet on this earth? No, it has not. It is yet future. Isaiah chapter 35 and verses 1 through 2, which says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Finally, Earth's Phase 5, when Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father and into all eternity. This by far is to be the most radical change. Consider 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. The New American Standard Bible reads, will be burned up. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Let's understand a few key points in this most important passage. The day of the Lord is technical phraseology, meaning the special intervening of God for judgment. Come like a thief, meaning this day of the Lord judgment will be sudden and unexpected like a thief. The heavens will disappear, refers to the physical universe as God incinerates the heavens as we know it. The earth and everything in it, meaning the whole of the physical and natural earth, all matter, will be consumed. In verse 13, a new heaven and a new earth, that is, brand new in quality, not just new chronologically. But why this fiery finish to most radically change at least Earth Phase 4 if it is to be renewed? If it is to be restored, in part because of Revelation chapter 20 and verses 7 through 9, which says in part, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. So, Satan, and again, most of mankind, born during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, actually will have the audacity to rebel against God. Against God incarnate on earth, even Jesus of Nazareth, reigning with his saints. Sin, once again, will leave its stain and pollute this earth. Therefore, God will create a brand new heaven and new earth, as the Revelation prophecy reveals. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, it says in part, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Moreover, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 says in part, in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. That promise of God was rooted in the Old Testament. For example, Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17 that says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. And God always keeps his promises. Therefore, the Phase 5 new earth will finally and permanently be a universe whereby all of God's people will dwell in our home of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Finally, permanently, no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Revelation chapter 21 and verses 4 and 5. So why is all of this important and practical for us today? Just this. You have heard the doomsayers claim our planet Earth will end tragically by an asteroid, catastrophic climate change, thermonuclear war, or the like. That is, by awful, devastating natural or man-made causes. Wrong. As Bible-believing Christians, we should be comforted to know only Almighty God will bring an end to this earth. So as Scripture reveals, we ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. One of our motivations now, practically, for holy and godly lives is knowing newness and eternity with God is coming. To speed its coming is to eagerly desire our eventual home of righteousness as we are and remain in Christ Jesus. And our overarching attitude, therefore, is not, as this world continues to repeat, doom and gloom. No, believers do not fear the ultimate future of the day of God. We instead should rejoice in the victory and joy to come forevermore. But dear listener, you need to be in Christ through persevering faith. Have you personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Repenting of your sin, believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, confessing Him as your personal Savior and Lord, being baptized by immersion into Christ Jesus, and persevering in Him. Then, one day, ultimately, all of God's people, together with the faithful angels, will be with the triune God forever and ever in a brand new universe with new heavens and a new earth. May this be true of each one of us.
I bring my sins to Thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in Thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to Thee. The burden is too great for me. The burden is too great for me. I bring my grief to Thee, the grief I cannot tell. No words shall need it be, Thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me, O suffering Savior, all to Thee. O suffering Savior, all to Thee. My life I bring to Thee, I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be Thine, ever Thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Thee, my Savior and my King, to Thee, my Savior and my King.
In the land of famous day lies a city foursquare. It shall never pass away, and there is no night there. God shall
gate shall never close to the city four square. There life's crystal river flows, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain nor fears, and they come.
It is our hope that we will be together with Jesus. Have you made a great decision for Jesus? If not, if you're not a Christian, please understand that you must first believe in Jesus, the Son of God. The Bible teaches that people who believe need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. It is important to also find a good Bible-believing church to help you. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, please write to us and ask for CD 1923. That's 1923. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.